Lesson 2 in our Bible Doctrine Study. We will resume where we took off, and if you need to use a rebound technique again, please do so, otherwise we'll just jump right back in. Okay, so we left off in point number 9 of the Doctrine of Adultery, Fornication. The last point in the Doctrine. It says, faithfulness to God, i.e. Bible Doctrine, is the key to avoiding both actual mental and spiritual adultery fornication. Just as a normal woman responds in love and respect for her husband, believers are supposed to respond to God. And we have a quotation here from Romans chapter 7, verses 2 to 4. It starts out with, for the married woman, and that's hupandros, is bound, D-E-O, means to tie up, by law, and that's the word namos, by law, to her husband, aner. Aner is always a good word for the husband. It also means noble man. And husbands, we should be noble men. While he is living. But if her husband dies, apothenesco. Now, apothenesco has several meanings, but here it means just a natural death. A natural death. She's released from the law concerning her husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she has joined, and that's ginomai, to appear in public to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. And that's our word, M-O-I-C-H-A-L-I-S. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die, and that is a different word, you can see, from the other word in terms of dies. And that word is thanato, to'o. That means by death to be liberated from the bond of anything. And let death will liberate you from the bond of anything, obviously. In the law, and that's our same word, namos, N-O-M-O-S, and that refers to the first husband, which is the old sin nature, through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, the second husband, Jesus Christ. To him who is raised from the who was raised from the dead, nekros, N-E-K-A-R-S, R-O-S, in order that we might bear fruit, and that's carpo. Carpo means fruit. Carpo phoreo, for God. And we studied this before. So basically, it gives us two doctrines in one. So if you're a married woman, if you appear in public with another man, and of course that's a synonym for committing adultery. Why would you be walking down the marketplace hand in hand with another man if you're married? Obviously, that was a no-no because that's a kind description of someone that's committing unfaithfulness to their husband. So who is the husband in the first marriage? The old sin nature. And so when the old sin nature died, then now you're free to remarry. And you remarried Jesus Christ. This is what this passage means. So your second husband is Jesus Christ. And you're free, you're not an adulteress anymore because your first husband died. Now, of course, as we continue in this passage we did in the book of Romans, many people that were married to Christ now, they went back to the first husband. And they said, well, when you go back to the first husband, that means every time you sin, you're going back to your first husband. The marriage counselor for the first husband was namos, the law, was a marriage counselor. And so now that you're married the second time because your first husband died, which is the old sin nature. Now, the old sin nature still remains, but it has no power over you unless you give it power. Now, the mechanism to take the power away, of course, is rebound. And we noted also in this passage that Christ never divorces you. The second husband will never divorce you. He just calls you, basically, you're a reversionist. You're going back to your first husband. Well, why are you going back to your first husband? Because they called you up on the telephone and said all sorts of wonder, remember those times we had, and you want to go back to the first husband. So you're tempted by the old sin nature, and you give in to the old sin nature. And every time you do that, you're going back to the first husband. So, in theory, we're supposed to remain faithful to the second husband, Jesus Christ, and never go back to the first husband. But, of course, all of us go back to the first husband all the time. And that's why we have rebound. We name the sin, I went back to the first husband, and what does the second husband do about that? They take us back every single time, just like Hosea. The book of Hosea, he married a prostitute. She went out on him all the time, but he always took her back. And she even said, hey, I've got some kids, and he knew it wasn't his kids, by another man. And he treated those kids as his own kids. And even when she finally left him and ran off with Mr. Right, who turned out to be Mr. Wrong, and she was totally used up, and on the slave market of the area where they sold slaves, he went out and bought her back and brought her right back to the house and put her back in the same position she had. And that's the faithfulness of God. God will never desert us. Now, he'll give us divine discipline, obviously, but he'll never desert us. So the point here, why do we put this in adultery, fornication? Because it talks about the fact that, as we indicated, the Bible uses adultery and fornication as a sign of faithfulness. And when you're unfaithful, then you're engaged in adultery against God, against your own creator. So the second husband is who we're married to now. We were all married to the first husband, which is the old sin nature. We were in Satan's kingdom. We believed in Christ. That's the divorce. They're gone. And that law has no authority over us anymore. We are now new creatures. We're going to get to the doctrine of new creatures also. We are new, a new spiritual species. We have a new husband. So why in the world do you want to go back to the old husband? The new husband treats you like royalty, like Hosea in the example. Gives you everything you want. And yet, from time to time, we turn against the new husband. Well, whose fault is that? Is it the new husband's fault? New husband's too mean to us? No, it's not the new husband's fault. It's never the new husband's fault because the new husband is perfect. It's your fault, my fault. And we have an old sin nature and we're tempted by it. Okay, so that's the doctrine of adultery, fornication. Do we have any questions before we move on to the doctrine of angels? Yes, ma'am.
How does God respond or show us that we are to respond if we are in a marriage and our spouse cheats on us or commits
right.
adultery?
Right. If you're in a marriage and your spouse commits adultery, what are you supposed to do? We're going to get to that in the doctrine of marriage, but just a preview of coming attractions. Peter had a big dissertation about that. He said, suppose you're a mature woman and your husband, either it's a believer or an unbeliever, if it's an unbeliever, he's negative to Bible doctrine, or it's her husband that's a believer, is negative to Bible doctrine. In other words, you're married to an unbeliever that rejects category two truth, or you're married to a believer that rejects Bible doctrine, what are you supposed to do? And the answer is given there. It says that you are supposed to endure it, and by your actions, perhaps you will get your husband, who's an unbeliever, to respond to the gospel, or if he's a believer, to respond to Bible doctrine. But you do have the right to divorce, to throw down divorce papers on that person, and you're not in a state of sin if you do so, because they've committed adultery. But it's up to you. You can say, well, I'm going to stick it out. Or you can say, I'm done. I'm throwing down and I'm leaving. So either way is not wrong, but you've got to decide which way you want to go. But we'll get to the doctrine of marriage and we get into that. That's why these things are interlocked. And you can see in the doctrine of divorce, we make references to the doctrine of marriage.
And I also know that struggling with, you know, this lust nature that you were speaking of, what would be some tools to combat that? Or if you find yourself, you know, buried in it?
There's the tool right there. Your volition. Your volition. I mean, today it's more available, but in the old days, people would get, Sears and Roebuck County. Oh, National Geographic back in the 60s where they had, you know, pictures of half-clad women from over there. And that was a big rage, you know, in the 60s. Oh, I got a National Geographic magazine that's got a topless woman in it. And so if you're a pervert, I don't care what the, you know, the drawings are or whatever it is. You're, you know, if you have that, when I say pervert, a pervert is someone that gives in to the lust pattern. The fact that you're tempted is not a sin. You might have a strong lust pattern towards being that type of person. So what do you do about it? Well, you recognize, we'll get to this when we get to the old sin nature, I've got this love pattern. And therefore, there's a couple of common sense things you can do. Don't turn on the computer. I mean, you got to turn the computer on or put a block in the system or do something. If your free will is not strong enough to overcome it, then set up blocking systems that will help you. But the key, of course, is to study Bible doctrine. The key to dealing with the old sin nature is the knowledge of Bible doctrine. That will wash everything away. It'll wash away your subconscious garbage, because the subconscious is where the garbage in the conscious mind goes. And it'll come out in dreams. It'll come out in all sorts of things. How do you wash out the vessel? Well, you got to put Bible doctrine in. And it's not an automatic download overnight. It takes time. So you recognize the trends in the old sin nature, and you don't put yourself in self in situations to do that. For example, in the New Testament, we have many examples where Paul says, look, don't hang around. That's the doctrine of separation. Don't hang around people that want to go out and get drunk every Saturday night and go down to the choke and puke rodeo or whatever it is. Just don't go. So when you go, you're going to be at peer pressure and all sorts of other things. Don't hang around idiots. Because, you know, if you're not strong enough to be your own person, you're going to succumb to the crowd. As my grandmother said, if you run with wolves, you start to howl. Oh, but I won't have any friends. So you don't have any friends. Big deal. God will give you a friend in his time. And it'll be a true friend instead of these knuckleheads you think are your friends. It would stab you in the back in a heartbeat. They'd throw you under the bus in a second. But they said they're my friends. Yeah, okay. God will give you a friend. Maybe. I don't know what he'll do, but he'll give you a friend, and God will give you what you need in due time. So the solution to everything is your free will and study Bible doctrine. And the fact that you might have a lust pattern in that area, well, okay, recognize you have a lust pattern in that area and devote maximum time to Bible doctrine. That's the only way you can confront it. The other stuff is just avoidance or other psychological factors to try to fake it out. Just deal with it through Bible doctrine. That's the ultimate solution. And when you succumb to it, just rebound and get back with Bible doctrine. You succumb to it again, rebound and get back with Bible doctrine. And how long? Whatever it takes. Just keep going. And your testimony will be, when you reach maturity, man, did I have a strong lust pattern towards X, Y, or Z, and I overcame it by the grace of God. And you will overcome it by the grace of God. Some people have a tendency towards gossip. We're just dealing with the lust pattern right now, but there's all sorts of trends in the old sin nature that can pull you out. Some people have a trend, tend to do good deeds, the human good a part of the old sin nature, and they can never get over it. They never break away from doing good deeds as a Christian way of life, and they're deceived. To me, that is more horrific. What's more horrific? What's the sins that God hates the most? We all get excited about sexual sins. When we get to the doctrine of sin, you'll see in Proverbs, fornication, adultery is not even mentioned in the top 10, folks. It's not even there. What's mentioned in the top 10? Gossip, maligning, judging. Let's get over those sins. But everybody's all excited about fornication and adultery. Yes, they're sins, and yes, they will destroy your soul. And when we get to the doctrine of sin, we'll get into more detail about how this scar tissue is built up. Because, again, these doctrines are interlocking. Okay. Yes, sir.
Sorry. It's also somewhat combined with the doctrine of marriage, but for a couple who remarries following an unbiblically justified reason for the prior divorce, they're in adultery at some point in time. Is that correct?
Right. We get to the doctrine of divorce. If you get divorced and it's not authorized by the Word of God, we studied today, we'll get to divorce, we'll study in more detail, but one reason this authorized is your partner has committed sex with another person. Therefore, you're authorized to file for divorce and get a divorce. Suppose your partner has not committed sex, but they've just done something that annoys you. You don't like it. And you file for divorce because in our current society, we have these reasons like incompatibility. I've searched up and down the Word of God. There's no justification for incompatibility. Sorry. But see, that's the modern thing. And that's what lawyers say. Well, you're incompatible. Whatever that means. Or we have irreconcilable differences. Well, who doesn't? But that's not authorized for divorce. So if that's your grounds and you throw down papers, yes, you've committed a sin. What do? You rebound. So if you married somebody else and you're not authorized to get remarried, you've committed another sin. What do? You rebound. Once you rebound, that marriage is authorized 100%. You simply, it's the grace of God. You should not divorce that person you marry because it's unauthorized. That would be a sin. So rebound covers everything. So if you find yourself in a situation where you've screwed things up, just rebound and learn Bible doctrine. And who hasn't screwed things up? Please don't all raise your hand at once. Because I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, yes, I've done some major screw-ups. I just don't tell you what they are. And I don't follow you around for your screw-ups. And if you're too young because you haven't had any major screw-ups, you will. And so what are you supposed to do when you screw up? Rebound. Once you rebound, that sin is washed away and forget it and move on. Any more questions before we move on to angels?